Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So South Carolina has gone large with their throwback uniforms. They're going with the black, the stripes on the sides of the pants, the Block C logo with a white circle on the garnet helmet. I'm going to tell you, they've got the throwback uniforms down at South Carolina. The black, the solid black color with the garnet trim is really kind of a badass look. And I'm down with what I'm seeing here. I don't know, Lonzo. Do I are you going to buy me a Gamecocks throwback anytime soon?
No. I'm not.
No.
If I might buy me one, though.
Looks
those
pretty
are
smooth.
Sweet.
Looks really, really pretty smooth. David Cloninger tweeted this out about an hour ago, and it's a smooth look, man. It's absolutely a smooth look. Let's do a quick check on the text line. Mark KG stepped on my foot at the Haywood Mall. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, I see where this is going. In a shoe store, and he was so nice and apologetic. This was about his second NBA season, says Kevin in Greer. So nice and apologetic about stepping on your foot. So who do you trust, Lonzo? We're all capable of having good and bad moments, right? So stepping on somebody's foot, you say you're sorry. Kids at volunteering at a basketball camp, I don't think you throw the sandwich at him if it doesn't have mayo, right? I don't know. It's kind of hard to gauge that. We all have good and bad moments. I certainly don't want you to see my worst moments. By the way, my worst moments come when I'm put on hold, when one of my services isn't working the way it's supposed to be working. Right? That's
so
my biggest pet peeve.
You're saying I haven't seen one of your worst moments?
Lonzo,
I'm just trying to gauge
Lonzo,
here.
Lonzo, you and I, we've been on a picnic here, man, for the first 7 months. What are you talking about, man? What? It's been a down and out picnic.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. Like, our interactions have been tame compared to previous experiences that I've had working in this business. And I'm always the same. But, some people were just really, I worked with some hot-headed people in this industry, man. It is what it is. All right, it is time to get to the top three at three, presented by Moe's Southwest Grill, 449 East Main Street in Spartanburg is their brand new location. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Moe's. The top three at three starts now. Would you stop killing my silence, man? Would you stop killing my silence, man? You're killing my flow. Hit it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have you seen denial is not just a river in Egypt, ladies and gentlemen, and the proof of that is what Dak Prescott is doing. Dak Prescott just turned down a deal for $30 million a year. Well, Mark Ryan, maybe he's worth more than $30 million a year. Oh no, you didn't. No, he is most certainly not. Here is the list of quarterbacks making $30 million or more in the NFL presently. Russell Wilson, $35 million. Ben Roethlisberger, $34 million. Aaron Rodgers, $33.5 million. Carson Wentz, $32 million. Matt Ryan, $30 million. Five guys. Dak Prescott is not in that company. He is not in that category, period. Okay, period. Below that mark, Kirk Cousins, 28. Jimmy Garoppolo, 27.5. Derek Carr, 25. Drew Brees, 25. Tom Brady, 23. And Dak Prescott just turned down $30 million a year. You know, folks, I was sharing the story how I think humbling experiences in our lives are very, very good for us. In an eight-month period of my life, I was really high on the hog. Maybe my head was getting too big for itself. Became number one, the number one afternoon drive show in Tampa, Florida. Met what I thought was my dream girl. Got my dream home. Got my dream puppy. And then in 8 months, because of a corporate merger with CBS and a company called Beasley, They decided to do away with sports in Tampa, and within 8 months, I lost my dream job, what I thought was my dream girl, my dream home, my puppy. I lost all of that in 8 months of a period of time. But in life, whenever there's tribulations, it brings with it opportunity. And the opportunity for me was to grow a thicker skin, was to be humbled, was to be stronger, to become a stronger person. And that's what it did for me. I don't think Dak Prescott has anybody in his ears telling him who he really is. Because he's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback in the NFL. And I don't know what he's thinking. Yeah, he's the quarterback for quote-unquote America's team, but what exactly has he accomplished? Folks, he's asking for a deal that starts at $40 million a year. For what reason? Based on what accomplishments that we've seen? Correct me if I'm wrong here. I have these 15 quarterbacks in the NFL as head and shoulders above Dak Prescott today. Tom Brady, Baker Mayfield, Ben Roethlisberger, Deshaun Watson, Andrew Luck, Nick Foles, Pat Mahomes, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Jared Goff, and Russell Wilson. Easily all better than Dak Prescott today. I gave him the benefit of the doubt because I think Kyler Murray is going to be better than he is. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be better than he is. And I think Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, and Kirk Cousins are a flip of the coin to where Dak Prescott is today. $40 million a year? Dude turns down $30 million a year? You've got to be kidding me. Can someone please check Dak Prescott? You're no Troy Aikman, and the greatest quarterbacks are not aligned with you, sir. Next up. All right, so my belief is the Braves season and whether the Braves, the Atlanta Braves, will be contenders or pretenders are going to come down to the next 12 games. The next 12 games that the Braves will play. Those 12 games, ladies and gentlemen, are against the following teams. 6 against the Mets, 3 against the Dodgers, and 3 against the Marlins. Now, the Marlins are awful, and the Braves tend to scuffle around and struggle with them a little bit. The New York Mets are the hottest team in the bigs right now. They're now above 500 and are listed as having a 52% chance to make the playoffs. And the LA Dodgers have the best record in the entire league. So what I did, I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, this is going to be really a telling stretch of the schedule here for Atlanta. I went back and I looked at the last 5 World Series champions, and I said to myself, what did they do in August as you're rounding into form, as you're getting ready for the stretch run? The last 5 World Series champions, the Red Sox, the Astros, the Cubs, Royals, and Giants, their combined record in the month of August was 86-53. They won 62% of their games in the month of August. That is an elite level. Right now, the Braves in August are 6-5. These next 12 games are going to tell a very, very, very key story. My opinion is by the end of next weekend, you'll know whether Atlanta's a contender or pretender. They're 6-5 right now. They've got to go 11-6 the rest of the way to match the 17-11 record that was the average mark of the last 5 World Series champions for the month of August. Are the Braves a contender or a pretender? You tell me. And finally, folks, we had a spirited debate on this today, and it requires me to have you please look into your crystal ball. When all is said and done at Clemson University, whom will be looked at as the number one quarterback in program history? Will it be Deshaun Watson? Will it be Trevor Lawrence? Who will be higher on that particular list? See, I get this question and I upset a lot of Florida Gator fans sometimes because I say it's all about the bling. Urban Meyer has 2 rings. Steve Spurrier has 1. Therefore, for me, Urban Meyer is the best coach in Florida football history. But those who argue against it say, well, Steve Spurrier did it first. Deshaun Watson did it first at Clemson. He began the era of dominance for Clemson football. Deshaun Watson won with less talent than Trevor Lawrence is presently winning with. But Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion, is going to have more bling. He's going to win 1 or 2 more national championships before he hangs them up at Clemson 2 years from now. So if I'm asking you to look into your crystal ball, Clemson fans, if I'm asking you to look into the future, And I'm asking you how these guys are going to be remembered. Who's number one on the all-time Clemson quarterback list? Is it Trevor Lawrence or is it Deshaun Watson? I love me some Deshaun Watson. I can't tell you how much I love that kid, okay? Pined and begged for him to be the quarterback and for the Texans to trade up and get him when I was hosting in Houston, and they did. However, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to outbling Deshaun Watson, and therefore, I believe Trevor Lawrence will be the number one quarterback. It will be viewed as the number one quarterback in Clemson Tiger football history. Those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do any number of ways on the most interactive sports show in South Carolina. 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The text line is there for you at 71307. Simply start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter is there for you, where our policy is, if you're following us, we will get to your tweets on the show. At ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. Send us a follow, send us your tweets, we will get to them on the show. We also take your emails to the show, and we're now receiving emails every single day to the show, which I greatly appreciate. Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All right, coming up next on the show, friend of the show, Taylor Estes, joins the program. We talked to her about the transfer portal and a few other interesting tidbits as we get ready for the start of another glorious college football season. We're oh so close to that amazing moment where toe meets leather. Right here on the most interactive sports show in South Carolina, you're Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. She's one of my favorite people in the business. She's always giving of her time, does a great job covering the sport, not just locally, but nationally. She's the managing editor for Horns 24/7 of the Texas Longhorns, based out of Austin, Texas, also covers nationally for 24/7 Sports. And Taylor Estes joins the show right now on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Taylor, first things first, we had you on last week. I got to check on your progress. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling better. I'm getting a little bit better each day. My face doesn't look so much like Harvey Two-Face Dent anymore, so that's a really good thing. I'm very happy that the scabs and the wounds are healing. So it's a day-by-day progress, but it's going along for sure.
That's wonderful. And I see you are reading Rod Gasper Miracle Met these days with your feet kicked up outside here. That looks very lovely.
Yes. So my dad, he was on the 1969 Mets team, and he was approached prior to the start of 2019 about doing a book, kind of from his standpoint of not only just that 1969 World Series team and that season, but also his journey to the major leagues and then post-major leagues. So it's kind of interesting to hear everything from my dad's perspective in a book because, my dad's just kind of a dorky person. I never really think of him as the type that would have a book about his life out, but it's really cool. He says a few inappropriate things. I'm like, oh no, dad, don't do that.
So let me
do that.
There you go. Well, let me ask you this. What was it like growing up with a Major League Baseball playing dad? Were you in the dugout often?
No. So he played quite a few years before I was around.
Okay.
He had retired about 20 years before I was even born yet. I'm sorry, 10 years before I was born. So I wasn't really involved in it as much as my older siblings, but my two older siblings, he played at the Hawaiian Islanders out in Oahu in the 70s, and both of my older siblings were born in Hawaii. So they got kind of the cool benefits, I think, of being the major league, the daughter and son of a major leaguer, but I got kind of the post stories. But overall, it was such a different game back in the 60s and 70s compared to now. And just like knowing any history about that 69 team, entering the season with 100-1 odds of winning the World Series and then actually winning the World Series. That's just not something that really happens very often. I think the last time I can think of something like that happening was when Lamar Jackson winning the Heisman. I think he was about 100-1 odds or something like that entering the season. So it's a rare occurrence. So it's really kind of cool to have that part of your family history. I'll say that.
Definitely. Definitely. Taylor Estes, 24/7 Sports, joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. So Sports Illustrated has released a list that I find very offensive here, Taylor. They have the 10 greatest college football programs in history, accounting for it all. Now, this is something I do, the top 20 programs annually as of where we are today, right? And Texas made my top 10. I think Texas was 10, maybe Florida was 8 or 9 in terms of where we are today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Prestige, history factors into it. Basically an overall ranking of programs. But Sports Illustrated is looking at this from the long term, okay? And I want to share this list with you, Taylor, and I'd like to get kind of the first thing that comes to mind here. So kind of a little word association here with a list of the 10 best programs in college football history. 1 Alabama, 2 Ohio State, 3 Michigan, 4 Texas, 5 USC, 6 Notre Dame, 7 Nebraska, 8 Penn State, 9 Tennessee, and 10 Oklahoma. What jumps out to you?
I think Oklahoma is a pretty low on that totem pole, if you ask me. And I think Texas may be a little high.
Wow.
I do know that a lot of people, you know, especially in my part neck of the woods here, are probably going to kill me for saying this. But, you know, I think that with Texas, yes, they have won 3 national championships, but there's been such a large gap in between the 2 back-to-back ones and then the one in 2005 that it's really hard to say that they're number 4 all time. I mean, I do agree that they probably do deserve to be on that list, and maybe it's just because I'm not going all the way back 150 years of college football, but I would say that some of those teams probably deserve to be ahead of Texas on that list, and I think Oklahoma at number 10 is probably a little bit too low.
Yeah, I was hoping you would shred my producer's number 2 Ohio State Buckeyes team. Number 2, the second best program in the college football. Really? So here's what gets me. No, I agree with you on Oklahoma, Taylor. Tennessee hasn't done squat in 20 years. They're number 9 on this list. At what point does what we're doing in today's era matter? This millennium matter? Are we ranking these just from the 20th century? I mean, what's going on here? Like, Tennessee has done nothing since T. Martin won them a national championship. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, and if you think about it, too, I almost feel like every year Tennessee is somehow ranked, like, pretty highly going into the season. It's like, does anybody not pay attention to what happens, like, when Tennessee takes the field every single year for the last, like, decade, it seems like? You know, I mean, it's like, it always blows my mind when I see Tennessee ranked highly, like, in preseason polls.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what am I missing here? Because this happens every year, and they end up being, like, a middle-of-the-road team. So what's going on? Like, am I missing something in Knoxville that's going on that none of us else sees? I don't know. It's a weird situation, I think, with Tennessee. But, yeah, I think that I agree with you. They're definitely way overhyped. I'm not sure if they deserve to be on that list right there.
At all. And yet they're right here. And then, to your point, Phil Steele's power poll, and I love Phil, Tennessee is 30th this year. So, in other words, they're supposed to be on the cusp of the top 25. Based on what? based on what that they've accomplished exactly, are they going to be on the cusp of the top 25? They play Alabama every year. They got Georgia and Florida every year. There's 3 losses right away, right? I mean, what else?
Right.
I don't get it.
I mean, maybe losing 4 games in the SEC or 5 games in the SEC means that you should be a top 25 team. I don't know. I mean, maybe so. We'll see.
So, you know, the Big 12 in the landscape of college football, Taylor, do you see the Big 12 ascending? I still see, when I see the conference rankings, I see SEC number 1, I see Big 12 number, I see Big 10 number 2. Can you see the Big 12 working its way into that upper echelon? Because they really did have a great bowl season against the top conferences.
Yeah, I think last year may have kind of gotten a little bit, the Big 12 got a little bit more attention, I think, last year, just because of their performance in bowl games against I mean, a lot of them were against SEC teams too, you know? And so I think people may be slightly having a little bit more confidence in the Big 12, but I really just think from a national standpoint, everyone looks at the, you know, if they're looking at the stat sheet, they're looking at the stats on offense, which are astronomical in the Big 12. It's like, oh my gosh, like nobody plays defense. And then they look at the defensive stats and they're like, yeah, nobody plays defense. So nobody's going to really take that serious. But, you know, I think I said this to you last week, the difference is the style of offenses in the Big 12. I mean, it's unbelievable to see how many plays are actually run in a game. And so if you're looking purely at the stat sheet, people are probably not going to give the Big 12 much benefit of the doubt just because their defensive stat numbers are always going to be bad. I mean, it's hard not to have that when you're, you know, your defense is on the field for almost 100 plays in a single game. And that is happening week in and week out. So I think that maybe some people have been won over a tiny, tiny bit just because the Big 12 did so well in bowl games last year. But I really think unless some big defensive team like steps up and can stop these Big 12 offenses, I think the Big 12 is probably going to be kind of the middle of the tier type of Power Five conference this year. But we'll see if it changes. I mean, I think that I'm with you though, Mark. Like I think that the Big 12 probably is not getting as much credit as it deserves right now. So, you know, we'll see if the teams prove us right or wrong this season.
Taylor Estes is joining us here on the show, Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. You know, I feel like, Taylor, that, you know, college football with Alabama and Clemson and a lot of the same names at the top, they're facing a similar problem that the NBA has seen in recent years. It's the NBA with the Golden State Warriors became a movie that we've already seen that we're tired of seeing again. And I'm interested, really, not only with, you know, Texas is a program on the rise. There's no doubt about that. We've seen some of the storied programs, the Florida's kind of getting back on good footing again now that they have what seem to be the right men in charge. Do you have like a dark horse program in college football that you expect to make serious gains among the upper echelon over the next few years?
You know, I will say I'm going to give a really, really risky one here.
Great.
But I'm going to go with a Big 12 team, and I'm going to say Iowa State. I really believe in what Matt Campbell is doing there in Ames. And I know, you know, if you go back and look at last year's record, okay, I think they went 8-5. So that's not going to look great. But I really think that Matt Campbell is onto something. They've really been the only team in the Big 12 that has been able to slow down some of these Big 12 offenses, so much so that in the offseason, there were more than 30 college and NFL coaches that went to Ames this past year to study the defense that the Cyclones were running. And that's just not something you hear of very often happening at a school like Iowa State. That type of stuff happens, you know, I think that happens with some of the bigger college football programs out there, some of the big powerhouse programs. They want to see what type of schemes they're running, what's on both offense and defense. But for that many, you know, top tier type of level of coaches, both in professionals and college, to be able to go to Ames to study their defense, I think they're doing something right there. I think Matt Campbell has that program really headed in the right direction. And I'm not saying that they're going to win a college football playoff championship or anything like that anytime soon. But if there's a team that's going to kind of crawl up from the bottom to being like a mid tier type of maybe like a number 15, 10 to 15 ranked team over the next few years, I'm going to go with Iowa State. I'm going to go with a really long shot one, but I think something is brewing there in Ames, and it's a good thing for the program.
I would love your outside perspective on this, Taylor, because, you know, now I've been here 7 months. My opinions are beginning to be clouded from being inside the bubble here. Okay. So what an outside opinion, your thoughts, Will Muschamp, his tenure in South Carolina, your opinion of him as a coach, is he the guy long-term for the Gamecocks? What's your general opinion on him?
So, you know, I have a little bit of an opinion on Will because of his time that he was the defensive coordinator at Texas.
Sure.
He, you know, from all accounts, I always thought that he was a fantastic defensive coordinator. I thought that he was one of those guys that players really just want to play for, and they don't even want to play for, they want to make him proud of them because he's kind of a psychopath a little bit, you know what I mean?
Totally.
There's videos of him headbutting of, you know, a white or punching a whiteboard or headbutting his clipboard and having blood running down his face. I mean, that stuff happens. So I think that he's the type of coach that he can get the best out of his players. But I just don't know if he went, this is going to sound bad, but I don't know if he went into a head coaching role too soon. I almost feel like he needed a few more years kind of as a coordinator to learn the ins and outs, not just as the head coach, but being kind of the the guy of a program. I mean, there's a lot more responsibility that comes with being a head coach that just, you know, away from the X's and O's part of the job. I think that, you know, I think he's doing a better job there. Obviously at Florida, it was not going to work out for him there, but you know, I think it's, what is his fourth year at South Carolina now? I mean, I think he has to prove it, I think, going into this year. I mean, nowadays in college football, you're kind of dealing with the what have you done for me lately? And what he did for South Carolina lately was go 7-6. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if he's coaching for his job both this year and definitely next year if they came around for after the fourth year, if there hasn't been a significant amount of improvement.
But evidently you don't have to do anything lately to be in the top, Sports Illustrated's top 10 programs of all time.
Right? Not.
Nothing for the last 22 years, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So I when I got to my last place of employment in Houston, Houston had just broken off a deal with us because our web guy had not a smart thing, Taylor. Our web guy, Tom Herman was the coach, and our web guy posted an article as to the five jobs that Tom Herman would leave Houston for, and he tagged Tom Herman in the tweet. Okay? So
yeah.
He said the five jobs at Tom Herman would leave Houston for. So I think if you've got a deal with Houston, which the station did, publishing that that's right on the line, maybe across the line. I think tagging the coach is way over the line. And Tom Herman saw it, and he broke off the deal with the company. And so a lot of people, when I got to my last place of employment, September of 2016, you know, people in the building didn't like that guy. And so I'm wondering, right, have you managed to tick off Tom Herman yet? Or have you stayed on his good side?
I personally have not managed to pick him off yet, at least that I know of. I'm pretty sure I would know had I really ticked him off, because he is not the type, I think, that would sit there and just take it quietly. I think that it would have been approached to me what I did wrong or whatever. I will say that there have been some people on the Texas beat that have ticked him off quite a bit, but I think that's just kind of his personality a little bit. You know, I know a lot of coaches say this, but he's the type of coach that's going to sit there and say, I don't read what you write. But we know he reads every single thing that we write. I mean, Tom Herman's a really smart guy. He's not going to let things be said about his program and have no idea what's being said. That's just not who he is. And I think you know that too. You know,
sure,
he almost wants a hand on everything that he does. I mean, it does not surprise me at all that they cut the deal with the station after that, because that's just something that I could totally see Tom doing if he did not give any type of approval, then yeah, I mean, I think that you would be in a lot of trouble. But so far, you know, I have not done anything. I haven't been worried about ticking them off, though, I'll say that. So, you know, there's probably going to come a day where I write something that he's not going to like that's going to tick him off, but that's, you know, just kind of comes with the territory. And a lot of times the way I look at that is like, well, if it's going to, you know, if I'm writing something that's fair and it ticks you off, then maybe you should be doing something better. But, you know, if I'm taking a shot, that's one thing. So, you know, I think it's probably only a matter of time before we all get that list, you know, kind of on the...
I think it's a badge of honor, personally. I really do. I really do.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And I think he's a fantastic coach, but don't let him, Taylor, dictate what you do, right?
Never,
don't let
never.
Him dictate your coverage. He didn't approve it, so what, right? I mean,
exactly.
So I think you know, there's a bit of a Napoleonic complex with some head coaches where they want to be able to control every message that goes out about their team, and that's not mm-hmm. what we do. Right. The day you and I lose the right to share our opinions is the day that I leave this business. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. And with him, too. I mean, I think that he probably I will say there was an instance where he kind of came in at Texas and I think he expected to kind of not scare. That's probably the wrong word, but try to a little bit intimidate some of the reporters by just saying, you know, things like I'm going to have the strictest contracts out there. So. Just so you know, like, you know, he doesn't want the reporters talking to his assistant coaches or whatever. But I think he quickly learned that that type of message may go over well on a Houston beat, but on the, you know, the University of Texas beat where there's several, you know, Heisman voters and AP ballot voters and things like that, that's not going to fly. So he really hasn't done anything like that since he kind of got here. But I think he did have the idea that he was going to come in and dictate what was going to be done and written and how things were going to go with the reporters. And he quickly learned that was not going to be the case at all and nowhere close to the truth.
Good for you all. Good for you all. Congratulations. We celebrate the small battles in this business, Taylor.
Yeah, small moral victories. There you go.
There we go. Taylor Estes, when reading the book Miracle Met, the son of a Met World Series champion. She's the managing editor of Horns 24/7, also contributes to 24/7 Sports and CBSI. Taylor, always great to talk to you. Thanks for making the time today and continued recovery to you, all right?
Thank you so much, Mark.
You are all right. Take care. Taylor Estes, coming your way next on the show. What is your confidence level in Will Muschamp today that he's the right guy long-term? Scale of 1 to 100. We'll get to that next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you guys. Fun show today. Lots of fun stuff. And still, I want to get to this topic. We were talking to Tim Frisbee earlier in the show today, and I asked him the following question. I said, Tim, give me your confidence ranking that Will Muschamp is the right man for the job at South Carolina long term. Here's what Tim said.
Well, I think that's all going to pan out in these next few years here, and I do think they're going to give him a few years to get this online. His recruiting has been amazing. I'm confident he's going to get the recruits in here that he needs to. Now it's all going to be in execution and, how he can bring out the potential of these recruits that he has. And so that's what it's all going to boil down to. As you know, winning cures everything. So eventually, it's going to have to show up on the field. He's going to have to win. And at this point, I feel that he could be the man, for the future of this program. But it's going to have to play out in the field. He's going to have some successes. And we wish him the best.
Well, the second part of that was when I asked him, Tim, you got to give me a number here, man. You got to give me a number. What is your number? And his number was 70. So, Tim, on a scale of 1 to 100, feels like there is a 70. He gives a confidence score to Will Muschamp that he's the right guy for the job long term for South Carolina. So I would ask you that very question, okay? Whether you're on the Clemson side or the South Carolina side, what's your confidence level that Will Muschamp is the right guy for the job long-term in Columbia, South Carolina? 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Lonzo, I step aside to hear your thoughts here.
All right, here's the thing, and I know I've complained about this bunch, but I'm going to continue to complain about it until I see an improvement. I'm going 35%, and it's because of the defense. That is the problem. Taylor Estes mentioned something about this, about him being a defensive coordinator and how she thought he should have had a few more years at that. I agree that he needed a few more years of that, and he didn't have it. And this defense has been horrible, and I know they've had incidents and accidents and injuries. But here's the thing. We've seen Ron Rivera take over the defense on a professional level when it wasn't up to where he needed it to be. He needs to do the same thing. Muschamp needs to take over the defense and show people that he's a good coach, because right now I don't think he is.
So you say 35, scale of 1 to 100. Lonzo says 35. That's his confidence level, that Will Muschamp's the right guy for the job long term. I'm going to say 30. I'm right around where Lonzo is. I thought of my number before Lonzo shared his answer. So Lonzo's at 35 and I'm 30. Wow. I like what I'm seeing in terms of recruiting. I really like that. But then again, I loved what I saw in terms of recruiting at Florida. I also like that he's no longer running a Stone Age offense that he insisted on at Florida. Now South Carolina's airing it out a bit. I think he's got with the time. He's gotten with the times there. But I still, yet it's in terms of, can he win enough with the talent that he recruits? There's a lot to like there with Will. The discipline, his history with defense, albeit not South Carolina's defensive ranking, number 89 last year, not good enough, but they did have a ton of injuries. We just don't know yet if he can win enough in the SEC to really make a dent or move the needle. And my confidence level, it's not terrible, but I think for me, it's probably not. Probably not that he's the right guy long term. Tim Frisbee says 70. Lonzo says 35. And yours truly says 30. These are not hopeless numbers from Lonzo and I. It's just, you got to show me more than you've showed me up to this point. Let's get to Rob, who's up next. Rob, thanks for the call. You're offsides. Rob, go ahead.
I'm kind of leaning toward, I think, 60, 65%.
So you're feeling more likely than not that Will Muschamp is the guy long-term for this team?
I do. I know when he got there, pretty much everybody knows how the situation was with the roster when he got there. And the turnaround he's made in 4 years. So agree with everything that everybody's been saying about him being a recruiter. Nobody doubted that when he got the job. But the roster was not there to compete, you know, and then he has the most wins of a head coach first 3 years. He just hasn't won that big one yet against a ranked opponent. I think the only one he has is at home against Tennessee. But you can look at the offense from first year play calling, McClendon last year, how much it improved over Roper calling plays, and you just know it's going to get better second year system. It always does with the senior quarterback. Yeah, most, you know, wide receivers with Shai Smith, Brian Edwards, and he's getting those recruits in now on defense that he didn't have before. Granted, last year he was against Clemson playing freshman in that defense. He's got the depth up front, and he's got talent in the secondary. They can stay healthy this year to maybe surprise some of those ranked teams. It's just, like you said, he's got the players, now he's got to show it on the field. You know, I think they give him probably 2 or 3 years. But they got a heck of a quarterback room coming up.
No doubt about it. Doty and Helinski. So let me ask you this. We got 20 seconds, Rob, okay? The next 2 years, how many wins does he need to have to keep his job? Next 2 years?
He's got to average at least, I'd say 9 wins with possibly 10 in a bowl game. So anywhere from 19 to 20 wins.
19 to 20 wins over the next 2 years. Thanks for the call, Rob. It's going to be really tough. I mean, he might win 7 this year, and that might be a job well done. You know, so 19 or 20 would mean you win 12 the following season. I don't know about that. All right, coming your way next, it's the best thing we heard today. Two guys that were teammates that are no longer teammates running smack. They just happen to run into each other again, and they happen to do so right down the road. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, a quick check. Twitter and the text line. Billy Papadopoulos says he'd go 85 to 90% that Will Muschamp is the right guy. Look how long Dabo had before he actually made a big splash with Clemson. Let's give him more time, says Jay Reiner on Twitter. Upstate Judge wants to know why he's heard nothing on high school football. Stay tuned, Upstate. You will. By the way, the real S117 coming through for us, Lonzo, spoils my spuds. Was the winner That was the winner. And D. Henderson says, enjoyed the Frisbee segment today. How am I supposed to call you bad names and degrade your show now, damn it? Good show, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Thanks, D. Henderson. Appreciate you, buddy. And Lance Burns says, character absolutely matters. Great example for me is Greg Hardy. So the best thing we heard today happened at Carolina Panthers training camp. And here it is.
Looking like it, feeling like it, about to play like it, you did. As soon as this horn sound, you know it's on sight. Don't touch me, don't talk to me.
If they see me on the blitz, you better hurry up and throw the ball, because I might hit you.
Boy, all right.
That is Cam Newton and his former teammate, Captain Munnerlyn, now scrimmaging with the Panthers as part of the Buffalo Bills, was just signed this week. Straight Up with Sturge, Will Pelagic filling in, coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.